Good evening. As Sam mentioned, we're working our way through 2 Samuel. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to, as I typically do, we have quite a few verses, so I'm going to break it up into chunks. We'll read a piece, and then we'll look at it and discuss it, and then we will read another piece and do the same until we're complete. But turn, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to read 15 through 20 to begin. That's 2 Samuel 16, 15 through 20. Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, all the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with them. And so it was when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, "Long live the king, long live the king." So Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend?" And Hushai said to Absalom, "No, but whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom shall I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence." Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give advice as to what we should do." Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time where we can look into your word. We can read it, seek to understand it, and then, Lord, rely upon your spirit to apply it to our hearts, that we might do it. We might be changed, that we might be what you have created us to be, the image of Christ. We do pray in his name. Amen. All right, so today we're gonna continue on the series of the life of David that we've been going through now for a while. Now, before I consider the text, I'd like to begin with a description of David from 2 Samuel. It's in chapter 23. And it says, "David's referred to as the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel." Now, one of my favorite psalms is the door to the psalms, or the entrance, which is Psalm 1. I find it fascinating that when you open the book of Psalms containing the worship songs of the people of God in the Old Testament, the first words you see are these: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, the Psalter doesn't begin with what the man who is blessed does, but what he does not do. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The psalmist will get to what the blessed man does in the next verse, verse 2. But that is not where he starts. He starts with what he does not do. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why does he start with these words? Perhaps the beginning of this first stanza in the book of Psalms is pointing us back to the beginning of creation, when man was in a state of blessing and the worship of God was untainted by sin. But then, through the ungodly counsel of the serpent, all of mankind came under the curse of sin and death. Perhaps worship begins with repentance and faith, turning from the path we are on, from walking in the counsel of the ungodly, to trusting in the counsel of God revealed in the Bible and walking with him in the paths of righteousness, as David tells us in Psalm 23. Or maybe this psalm begins with these words because it was something the psalmist had experienced himself. Both the bad, they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life, in Psalm 31, and the good, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Or could it be that it begins with these words, "for our sake," as the Apostle Paul said? "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." That's Romans 15:4. In either case, or better yet, in each case, we are going to consider the counsel of these two men referenced in the text we just read, in light of the counsel of God in the Scriptures. There is a man by the name of Ahithophel and a man by the name of Hushai. Before we get to know them a little better, let's take a look at the context. I mean, we haven't been in 2 Samuel for over a month now, right? About 6 weeks. So let's recalibrate, and let me refresh some of the things we've already talked about. So David began his reign as the king of Israel at the beginning of 2 Samuel. And after the Lord made a covenant with David, David sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba. And then he tried to cover it up. This culminated in David having Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed in battle. And when David was confronted by the prophet Nathan, he repented and the Lord forgave him. But there were consequences. For the Lord told David through Nathan, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." That's 2 Samuel 12:10. And so from there, this starts to be carried out. David's son Amnon was killed by his other son, Absalom, after Amnon defiled Tamar, the daughter of David, and Absalom's sister. Absalom fled for 2 years, and then David is persuaded by Joab, that's the captain of the army of Israel, to bring him back. Then Absalom subtly subverts David's authority by telling the people what they want to hear. So Absalom stole the hearts of the people. He also took David's counselor, Ahithophel. And after Absalom conspired to steal the throne of David, David and his men fled from Jerusalem. David then sent Hushai back to Jerusalem to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So now let's get to know our first counselor that we read about. His name is Ahithophel. So when Absalom came to Jerusalem, Ahithophel was with him. And we're introduced to Ahithophel earlier in chapter 15. When Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, he was David's counselor from Gilo. Ahithophel was a Gilonite. His hometown was Gilo, which is in part of that inheritance to the tribe of Judah, which was David's tribe. Ahithophel was David's counselor, so he would have been very close to David. But that was no longer the case. For he did not leave Jerusalem with David, but was in Gilo. And he'd become part of Absalom's conspiracy against David. And we're not explicitly told why Ahithophel betrayed David. But if we take a closer look at his family tree, we probably can deduce a reasonable probable cause. Among the names of David's mighty men listed in 2 Samuel 23 are Elam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite, and Uriah, the Hittite. In 2 Samuel 11, we are told that Bathsheba was the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. So Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. And her husband, Uriah, was a close companion of Ahithophel's son, Eliam. So David's sin affected more than his own house, and that's the way it is. Sin's a very sticky thing. You can't get it off yourself. It also affected the house of Ahithophel. So David's sin most likely brought about a separation in their relationship. In addition, the sin of David would have been instrumental in the formation of a common bond between Ahithophel and Absalom. Absalom wanted revenge for the defilement of his sister Tamar by Amnon, but he did not get it from David, his father, the king. No doubt the thought of revenge for Bathsheba and Uriah also came into the heart of Ahithophel. And as they say, birds of a feather flock together. So Ahithophel and Absalom share a common bond. David's sin had a disastrous effect on them, their families, and their friends. Every one of us can identify with their experience of being sinned against. We all live in a fallen world, and we all have been treated unjustly by others. However, we also need to be reminded of what they seem to have forgotten. We have all also sinned against others, especially God. God had forgiven David, but Ahithophel and Absalom could not forgive him. Sinners must receive forgiveness before they can give it. And for what has been revealed, it appears that neither one of them ever asked for it. It also appears that Ahithophel and Absalom possessed some knowledge of justice, but it was twisted. For they knew that David transgressed the law, and it's not right that the guilty are not held accountable for their sin. However, what they lost sight of is the judge and his judgment. The Bible reveals him as the Holy One with eyes like a flame of fire, who tries mankind and makes manifest the hidden things of the heart. This is a God, Most High, who said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." So this judge will make things right at his appointed time on his day of judgment. Now, that doesn't mean that we just let bygones be bygones. But you don't have to live long in this world to realize that you're not going to find perfect justice in this world. And sometimes you're not going to find justice at all. And there's a temptation to harbor that into your heart and let it eat away at you until you become no longer the person you once were. Those who know his justice can wait for it. But those who are blinded by sin, like Ahithophel and Absalom, cannot see that final day coming. So they continue to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, and sit in the seat of the scornful. Had they followed the counsel of the Lord revealed in his word, he would have given them rest from their revenge. And he would have led them in the path of righteousness, not self-righteousness. So Ahithophel was a counselor custom fitted for Absalom, one that would condone bad behavior, not correct it. And by the way, when you read through the story of Absalom, I don't recall anyone ever confronting him to correct him. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Now let's meet Hushai. So in First Chronicles 27, we read Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. The two are listed together with David. But in 2 Samuel 15, we see they took different paths from David. After David fled from Jerusalem, he went up to the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. Then someone told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So notice where David goes for counsel first. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped, there was Hushai, the Archite, coming to meet him, with his robe torn and dust on his head. Then David sent his friend and companion Hushai to defeat the council of Ahithophel for him. He'd already sent previous, before this, he had sent the priests back, Zadok and Abathar, to carry back the ark to Jerusalem. And he also sent their sons, both of their sons. Each one of them had a son. He sent them back, Ahimaaz and Jonathan. And the plan was this, is that they were going to carry back messages to David from Jerusalem. And so when Hushai came to Jerusalem, he went to Absalom saying, "Long live the king. Long live the king." Absalom was surprised to see him and proceeded to interrogate him, questioning his loyalty to David, and asking, "Why don't you go with his friend?" And Hushai insisted they remain with the one whom the Lord, the people, and all the people of Israel have chosen. They assured Absalom that he would serve his son as he served his father. And they must have persuaded Absalom, for after we read about Ahithophel's counsel, we're going to read about the counsel that Absalom asked Hushai to give. Now, after David heard that Ahithophel was part of the conspiracy, his first action was go to his council of the Lord, and he prayed to him, asking for him to turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And the Lord heard his prayer. He sent Hushai to him. Hushai was a faithful friend of David's, the Lord's anointed, and he would risk life and limb. Think about it. So here you have someone who's taking the kingdom, stealing the kingdom, and he wants to kill David, his own son, and take the kingdom. And Absalom knows that Hushai is David's close friend. But this man's going to go back to Jerusalem where this man is who wants to kill him. So he really loved David, and he cared for David. And before he departed, David counseled Hushai, telling him to say to Absalom this, "I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously. So I will now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the council of Ahithophel for me." Now first, we've got to talk about this question that it raises. Many struggle with, not only here, but in many passages of the scripture. Did David and Hushai sin in this deception of Absalom? And should we follow their examples? First, let me give you a caution about developing doctrine from narrative passages, like the one we're reading. These accounts are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and therefore a true and inerrant historical record of what occurred. But that does not necessarily mean that we should follow their practice. For example, the scripture reveals to us that David had multiple wives and concubines. But in the law, God commands the king not to multiply wives for himself. Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 17. Therefore, we need to be careful not to confuse God's instructions in righteousness with his mercy and long-suffering toward his people who continue to struggle with the remnants of sin in this life. Nonetheless, there's something we can learn from both of them. But as far as this passage before us, David is a type or a likeness of Christ. He is not a sameness. And because the scriptures teach that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ, I think it is best for us to follow the example of the one to whom we are to be conformed according to the clear teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter. Here's what he says in 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So those are the two counselors, Ahithophel and Hushai. So let's look first at the counsel of Ahithophel. Let me continue reading. 16, 21 through 7, 4. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep your house, the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house, and Absalom went in to his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak, and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you speak, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. So we can see a reflection of revenge in the counsel of Ahithophel, in his first counsel. There are two parts of his counsel that run in parallel with David's sin against Bathsheba and Uriah. The first part is revealed in these verses that we just read. The last one's in 16, 21 through 22. As you recall, David's sin began on the roof of the king's house. And from that roof, he saw Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. And he sent messengers, took her, and committed adultery with her. In our passage, Ahithophel says to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house." And they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Ahithophel's revenge was going to be a public replay of what David did in secret. So Absalom willingly played the part by following the wicked counsel of Ahithophel. And in doing so, he was like his brother Amnon, whom he killed for revenge. As you recall, Amnon had a counselor by the name of Jonadab, who fanned the flames of lust in Amnon to commit evil against Tamar. Similarly, Absalom's counselor Ahithophel flamed the same fans in Absalom to do what he despised in the other. Now, all these things were foretold by Nathan the prophet back in 2 Samuel 12. It says this, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversary against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." The wicked counsel of Ahithophel was given to strengthen the enemies of David to usurp the throne of the Lord's anointed. He did it for evil, so that all Israel will hear that you are abhorred of your father, then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. But God used it in the fulfillment of his word and in the humbling of his king. Now, if we take a look at his second counsel that follows, at the beginning of chapter 17, Ahithophel seeks the same end for David as Uriah. His death. Ahithophel's counsel was a diabolical plan to kill the Lord's anointed. For this reason, his plan pleased Absalom and the elders of Israel. It quickly accomplished their desired end, David's death and their reign. However, in Ahithophel's counsel, Notice who is performing all the actions. Let me choose. I will arise and pursue and make him afraid. I will strike. I will strike back, bring him back. Those who set their counsel above the counsel of the Lord seek their own glory. This is the Achilles heel in Ahithophel's counsel that Hushai is going to exploit. A.W. Pink summarizes Ahithophel's counsel like this. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and be an easy prey to the wolf, was a principle of his plan. It has been pointed out by others that there was a close resemblance, if not an actual foreshadowing, here to the policy suggested by Caiaphas. Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man would die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish. So too the language of others, of Christ's enemies, was, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. So David wrote in Psalm 41:9, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus, the son of David, quoted this psalm at the Last Supper with the reference to Judas. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. So the counsel of Ahithophel, we hear the echo of the counsel of the serpent and his seed, the son of perdition. However, this is not the final word. Which brings us to the counsel of Hushai. We'll begin in 17:5 through 13. Then Absalom said, now call Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too. And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up. So Hushai said to Absalom, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For, says Hushai, you know your father and his men. They are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say, there is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore, I advise that all Israel be gathered to you, from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for the multitude, and that you go to battle in person, so we will come upon him in some place where he may be found. And we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he is withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one stone found there. So Hushai, he was a wise man. He did not discount Ahithophel's counsel. He discredited its timing. His goal was to buy time for David. He did this by bringing to Absalom's remembrance the knowledge of his father and his men. They are mighty men. It will not be as swift and easy as Ahithophel thinks. Then Hushai gave Absalom a taste of his own medicine. Absalom won the hearts of the people of Israel by sitting at the gate of the city and telling them what they wanted to hear. Here, Hushai tells Absalom what he wanted to hear. In Ahithophel's counsel, Ahithophel gets the glory as indicated by the repeated use of the first person singular pronoun, I and me, referring to Ahithophel. But notice in Hushai's counsel, Absalom and the men of Israel get the glory indicated by the use of the second person singular pronoun you, referring to Absalom, and the first person plural pronoun we, referring to the men of Israel. You know your father's faith in his men. All Israel will be gathered to you. You go to battle in person. We will come upon him. We will fall on him. We will pull it into the river. William Blakey. Now, William Blakey was, he wrote a commentary on 1 and 2 Samuel, late 1800s. And he was a Presbyterian minister in Scotland, from the Free Church of Scotland, from the mid-1800s toward to the end there. He comments, "It is with counsel, as with many other things, what pleases best is thought best. Solid merit gives way to superficial plausibility. The counsel of Hushai pleased Absalom better than that of Ahithophel, and so it was preferred. Satan had outwitted himself. He had nursed in Absalom an overweening vanity, intending by its means to overthrow the throne of David. And now that very vanity becomes the means of defeating the scheme and laying the foundation of Absalom's ruin. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel." Let's finish with this last verse, 14. "For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster upon Absalom." David prayed that the Lord would turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, and the Lord answered his prayer. The Lord defeated the good advice of Ahithophel because he was going to judge Absalom. The tragic end of Ahithophel is recorded in verse 23. Second of this chapter. "Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died, and he was buried in his father's tomb." Just as Ahithophel perished after he betrayed Christ, David, so Judas also perished after he betrayed Christ. Both of them were enemies of the Lord's anointed. Both tried to usurp his kingdom, and both ended up hanging himself. In the book of Acts, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the apostle Peter stood up and proclaimed that Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, was taken by lawless hands, crucified, and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Again, William Blakely comments, "How easily may God, when he pleases, defeat the most able schemes of his enemies. He does not need to create weapons to oppose them. He has only to turn their own weapons against themselves. What an encouragement to faith, even when the fortunes of the church are at their lowest ebb." Then he quotes Psalm 2. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." So who is your counselor? Who do you go to first for advice when things don't go as expected? There's only one sure counselor, Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah, foretelling his birth, says this: "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amen. Let's pray. We do thank you, Father, for this record of the counselors, both Ahithophel and Hushai, but even more importantly, your counsel. For it comforts us knowing, Lord, that your counsel is the only one that will surely come to pass. So we do pray, Father, help us to seek your counsel first. Help us, Lord, to come to you first. And help us to love you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I think we have a hymn, right?